Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Going back to where the beach is near, the beer is dear, there's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around in Manhattan, along the Strand, and smoking at your back. By the river side, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary Glyde and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the heat of the corn, Jesus,
hello, welcome to episode 3, season 3, Sligo Away Podcast. It's Adrian here, joined by Ross and Ronan. And it's Monday and we're all having a very early midweek slump.
It's been a long time since we've had to do that intro a second time.
Yeah. But you're welcome. Yeah, we're all a bit tired and fatigued for different reasons, I believe.
What are you looking at me for?
You were in Leopardstown at the weekend.
I was in, up enjoying some quality grade one action now yesterday. Yep. It was very enjoyable. Normal. It was the first thing now I've done, I think, that I would say since the infamous Cheltenham 2020. Say that out loud.
Time Ronan went to Cheltenham in the middle of the COVID pandemic and tried to kill everyone.
Whoa. Brazen he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. Smug.
But anyway, it was great.
Sneering at us.
Leopardstown was great.
You got the train up and down?
Train up and down, yeah.
So, the locomotive.
Quite enough affair, yeah. It was just up and down. Enjoyed the horse racing. Richard Blackmore and Honeysuckle winning. Thoroughly enjoyable. Yeah, we had a good day out. Good day out.
Well done.
Happy days. Yeah, that's what it was like for me last week in Belfast now, but I don't think they gave a shite about it anyways. There was no sign of masks up there, and then I was at that 60th birthday party that night now, and everyone was having a great time. It felt like COVID was gone.
2 weeks since our last episode with Johnny Kenny on, JK24, good reaction to that. Picked up by some Scottish daily papers.
Mad, really.
And some Rangers fans.
Some Rangers fans. There's a man I had a bit of a battle with about the Bears.
The old Bears.
Your podcast is shit.
I like how he actually went to the time. He must have listened to it.
I doubt he listened to it, did he? But I went into his, I was going to go back to him because I went into his profile photo and it was him and his dad dressed up in their outfit for a bit marching like and two big orange, like, looked like assless chaps they were wearing nearly to march down the street with his daddy.
Fine line.
I did enjoy the Daily Record headline now.
Daily Record.
Just totally like, was like Kenny Hill's aunt's great motivator. Was like, did he actually say that?
A throwaway comment.
Yeah. We've been tagged in that. I wonder, will our interview this week be tagged in many daily national newspapers in the Axe community? We've Ciarán McGowan on later on the show. Much like I suppose our Warner Wilders one, it's a bit different. So, but loads of good insight and good tales, and it was good fun, Ross. So I would implore you to listen into it.
We learned a lot about the different type of axes and axe throws and categories. So
yeah, I was unavailable that night, but I've listened to it. It's good. It's well worth your time now.
Yeah, so that'll come up soon. We'll go through a few questions. It's the last ever episode of Sligo or Not Sligo because someone doesn't like it.
I didn't say that.
But that's too long. And you know,
26 questions.
That's 13 each only. Yeah. The crowd love it.
And then he was claiming, I don't know, he tried to claim victory twice. I don't think it's happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither type, I don't
He's
think.
He's the only man who doesn't like Sligo or not Sligo, it seems. So that's the last ever episode of Sligo or not Sligo. What's grinding the gears, lads? Anything?
What's grinding the gears? Ronan, anything yourself? Adrian, you look like a coiled spring ready to go there.
The way you were looking at me, I thought you were setting me up again there.
What time is Four Lights close at these days? It was closed at 8:30 the other night.
Closed at 8 o'clock.
What's that about?
That's what it's been since COVID.
I haven't been there, yeah. Surely the client, the major business was late at night.
I
just don't want the headaches anymore.
I can't remember what I said on the last podcast, but I was out a Saturday night a couple of weeks ago, left McLaughlin's at about 1:10, and there was people walking over to Four Lights assuming that it was going to be open. So that'd be a real blow now if you walked all the way over.
Yeah, that's a massive blow for culture in Sligo.
Yeah, Roberto's now. I still think they're not open yet either. They're gone by 11:30, I think.
Sure, shit.
So there's
any other nice feeds there, lads?
There's two nice establishments now staying open late anyway. I was at S1 Pizza at a late hour on a Saturday night post after our game on Saturday night. But that seems to be the new place where there was a lot of people in there.
Please.
So where's the second one?
Best.
Of course.
Yeah, they're always there. Anyway,
done a shift in Best one night.
I want to give a shout out to the Guinness in the Avena, not to sound too prawn.
The Avena in the gym in the Bals there, is it?
Aviva. Actually, you could bump into Declan Brennan in both places. Actually, I've seen him there and seen him at the match at the weekend. He was in great form.
I don't want to say what I was going to say. What else is grinding the gears? Fake nice guys.
Fake nice guys.
Yeah, people who are really nice, but they're not really.
And, there's a few of them around the place. Yeah.
And sporting associations who don't like getting, who won't pick up on mentions and a bit of free publicity and general trying to put the spotlight on them. That's what's grinding my gears.
Oh, that's the new section for us.
The Four Lights.
The Four Lights open hours.
Fake nice guys and not sporting associations not appreciating a bit of free media publicity. Fuck.
Very therapeutic there for you, it seems.
Need a coffee. Right, a few questions
get
in.
Your coffee made up now.
We'll go to them now. Okay. A few questions in. We'll go to them, okay?
Hello. My name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, a few questions in, lads. We'll start. Stephen Hone's in first, and he says, I'm aware this will never happen, but what do the lads think of having the GAA make the league their premier competition and championship like the FA Cup? League provides weekly games that are more competitive than championship, and judging by the attendance, the public agrees. Apologies, you've already been suggested, have the league run from February to September with breaks in between for championship. I think what he's suggesting there is like a 20 game type, not like the way they're proposing it now after seven leagues and then... Interesting.
Yeah,
would it get the appetite for 25, 30?
Maybe not that lot. I suppose
February, September
change is the hardest thing. You know, we've talked about structures a few times. I think at the minute there's such a bounce back from people being able to go to games again.
Yeah, I think that is massive.
Attendance is everywhere. Rob. Yeah. There were queuing outside Tyrone and Armagh the other day. They were queuing outside for an hour and a half.
Tralee was full. Yeah. It was sold out on last Monday for the game Saturday and was full at 5 o'clock. The stand was full for a 7 o'clock game.
For 7, yeah, that's outrageous.
Even the crowd of apes that come down from me on Donegal.
On one of the worst days you'd ever get for a game of football.
I don't know what, the whole, I don't think, well, he says it never happened.
I think at some stage it's going to be played off in some sort of league format.
The crowd will saturate with, if it's a long, long league format, if you're not at the top, what are you playing for?
Yeah, true. I think too, probably this year might be a bit of an outlier league wise because everybody, I know the league's designed that everyone's closed, but if you had a strong Kerry and Dublin winning every week, would it be that interesting? Do you know? Whereas they're always, maybe not Kerry, but Dublin tend to always have started slow, even in the years where they won five or six in a row. You know, they've always started the league slow because they were probably just coming back from holidays. So I don't know if it's, it is scheduled that the games would be closed, but I think this time last year, if you were talking about Gaelic, you'd be saying the problem is that 3-4 teams are so far ahead of everybody else. What's, you know?
Yeah, well, I think everyone's saying there's more teams in the pack now that can win it going off the first few league ends, but I don't think that'll be true.
It's a bit early, yeah.
The new green proposal is probably going to come in, which is your league position does carry on to championship later on. It's nearly a backdoor, so if you perform well in the league and don't have a great championship, if you're in the top 16 teams, you'll be in the Sam Maguire.
Okay.
But there's a bit more, and then it goes into a 14-4 championship group. So yeah, there'll be a league, then your normal provincial championship, and then whatever way the standings go with the eight provincial finalists, and then the next best eight positioned league teams, they'll go into four groups of four for the last 16 of Sam Maguire. Then it's drawn out again, so there's going to be two different league competitions, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have the
yeah.
actual league and then the Champions League type league, but that's the way it looks like it's going to go next year. So probably
next year.
It'll be voted. I'm not sure when it's going to be voted. They said the green has been backed by everyone, the GPA even, the okay. screen pools. So.
Yeah, because I've seen your man, what's his name, that book from Mayo, Tom Parsons, that he's a yeah. GPA. He was almost.
Woolley, Parkinson.
Yeah, Parkinson, yeah. Well, Parkinson seemed dead against it. Now, your man yeah. argued good points, I want to say, Parsons about it. And I suppose he's probably come from a player's point of view. But yeah, because this year now, there is a Tarleton Cup this year, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 And Sligo will be in that unless they get to a provincial final.
Okay.
That's the only way they can't.
They can't be in it, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think, I get where Stephen's coming from, I don't think we'll ever have a full premiership type or whoever type thing. But and then the championship is the FA Cup, I suppose. Championship is championship in GAA.
That'll be a long time before they change that.
Mm. Right. Good question, Stephen. James Duggan's in next. What was the best score or goal you've seen in any sport in Sligo? So I suppose a point or a goal, Gaelic, maybe a goal in soccer, a try, a rugby, or an old drop goal in rugby, or any sport. It doesn't have to be your specific sport. Mm. Anything?
I think I'd seen a goal recently at a junior soccer game where I said that might be the best goal I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I didn't get the goal now.
Must mean that. Good.
It must
mean.
Yeah,
I think Mark Rooney's try against Lansdowne. Just for the occasion it was, and we played them in the Bateman Cup semi-final. Scored a nice length of the pitch try, early doors. Stands out. A nice bit of cover.
Goal. There was a scout, big fat scouser signed for Rovers back in the 1996. Do you remember Tony Kelly, no?
Yeah, yeah.
He scored a goal in Spurs. Now, maybe it wasn't that good looking back. It's probably, but I just remember when he was 10, I thought it was the best goal I ever seen. Like, yeah, it was a pure bobbly pitch in the showgrounds, 30 yards out, and it bobbled up and he just caught it, I think. Top corner. That was one of my favourite. Might mean the best, but it was my favourite.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, actually, just talking about it, I suppose, but it's not even a goal or a score, but that time...
O'Hara's goal as well in the confines, I suppose.
Yeah, Jesus.
The Joey and Doe's flick that time at CCD.
Outrageous.
Yeah, like, I remember that time just being in the ground and everyone kind of went, what's after happening?
But someone shared it there last week on Twitter again, Twitter, and it's just...
It's outrageous.
How did he even think of it or do it?
Yeah. And it was. I remember being there at the time, and actually, because we're playing UCD, and it was a game in the middle at the height of summer, and it wouldn't have been that great a crowd, but like anybody that was there, I remember being there going, "What's after happening?" Do you know? And like, you were dumbstruck for until you seen it replayed on the Monday or whatever it was at the time.
It was outrageous.
You just couldn't figure out what had happened.
Like. Yeah, yeah, it was outrageous. That was from James Duggan. Kenny Joyce has a question in. Where are the best chips in town? No sauce, just plain chips. He says, matter of factly.
Can you put salt and vinegar on them, is it?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
With the old Mollies.
No more, Ross.
No more, yeah.
Sorry.
can't be sending the man to a place that's closed.
I'd head for, like, if you're literally just having salt and vinegar on chips.
Roberto's.
Like Roberto's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good chip, is it?
Yeah, you can't.
What is chipping the 5-1 like?
Wouldn't be standout now.
Mm. Superfood would do a few different type of chips. They're kind of flat one.
Yeah, long one.
Wings and Drumore West, the spicy chips.
Yeah?
Sensational, yeah. I spoke about wings in the show before.
I haven't got the wings yet.
We still haven't tried wings. It came into my head there.
I got it the other week, actually, going back from Balnan. It was a treat. Yeah. Because I got the Kaluni Chinese a couple of weeks earlier now, and it wasn't a patch on wings.
And that has a big name.
It has a big name.
And I tell you, I'm hearing big things about the Indian and Tupper Curry.
Oh
yeah,
is it truthful?
Yeah, no, it's truthful. Yeah,
and so we should really do a Chinese Indian poll and see if we can find the best one.
The Killarney one was highly rated, I think.
Yeah. The which one?
John Quinn did Chinese lately, did he?
Yeah, he had sex with a Chinese girl, Ross. If that's what you're trying to imply here, I'll just call you out straight away on that one.
No, not so subtle, dig there for our audience. But congratulations to him on the sex. Anyways.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I suppose Roberto's. But there could be a nice chip out in Enniscrone or something. We don't know about.
We don't know about, yeah. Let us know.
Fuck it. I had something there and I can't think of it now. Not gone out of my head completely. Wings. Oh, yeah. There's a guy. See the guy who set up the jersey shop in Ballina?
No.
Football Shirts United will be his Twitter page. But he was on to me. I was selling, well, not selling stuff, but I found a load of old gear, and he messaged me a few things looking to buy stuff a while back. And then he's all selling stuff on eBay, like old jerseys and stuff, but he set up a shop in Ballinana with all his old jerseys. So it looks cool, yeah. So yeah. Shout out to that guy. I must get up to him because he's in Ballinana. I'm in Ballinana this weekend, anyway, at some stage. So I'll get up to
take
that.
Take some pictures.
I will, yeah. Some nice ones there, but they're not cheap now.
No, no, but there's a huge market for them. Were we talking about that in the group recently, no? Or is it...
I don't know.
Was it that Twitter group, maybe? But anyway, yeah, I don't know, price of them football jerseys are crazy.
I can't find, like, loads. Anyways, we'll come back with Sligo or not Sligo, lads?
Yep.
Okay. We're back with Sligo or not Sligo for the third running.
Final time.
A draw last week?
Yeah, so I
so that's two draws?
No.
We'll have to see.
We're not going to go through this every week.
Right, we're going straight into it today. Good. Okay. Murty, who did I start with last time?
Murty, I think.
Right, okay, I'll start with you, Ross. Kinkora House, Sligo or not Sligo?
Sligo.
Correct, it's in Strand Hill. Ross or Ronan, the squealing pig.
Yeah, that's in Sligo.
No. It's a pub in Monaghan.
I've been there too. It's in Monaghan town, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Ross, Bugler's Rest.
Yeah, say that again.
Bugler's Rest.
Not in Sligo.
No, it's not. Yeah, you're right. Murty, pressure on now. The Gritching Kissing Stone.
Not in Sligo.
That's right, yeah. Ross, Carla Scarpa.
Jesus Christ, in Sligo.
Yeah.
Top of concert. I didn't think you were getting that, is it?
Carla Scarpa, yeah. Murty, Suck Me Sushi. Sligo or not Sligo?
I'll try. I'll chat not Sligo on that one.
Yeah,
now.
Not Suck Me Sushi's in Strabane in County. sorry, I need to cross out the ones I've done. Ross, the Jewel of the Nile.
Sligo.
Not Sligo. Oh. It's the Indian in Tubbercurry. It's called the Crown of the Jewel or something. So a little bit...
Trick question.
No.
No.
No, it's not in Sligo. Murty, Dugan's Donkey Sanctuary. It's out in...
That's too easy.
What?
Dude, that's something that could exist, but no, I'm going to say not in Sligo.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You're right, it's not in Sligo. Ross, Peter Michaels.
Sligo.
No.
Peter Martins.
John.
Murty, Michael Peters.
Not in Sligo.
Wrong. It isn't Sligo. It's the pub in Giva.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, the first time there's been a double wrong in a round, I think.
Yeah. So we're level now, are we?
Yeah.
We both got two wrong, yeah.
Ross, Mourne's Dead Animal Collection.
Not in Sligo.
Isn't Sligo.
It is.
Yeah.
Ah, stop.
They're from Ransborough. You'll see it in the Champion.
Lovely.
Like Google here.
And can you visit that place, or?
No, they pick up dead animals, like.
Oh, right, right, right.
For fuck's sake, Ballester County's like.
Yeah. Murty, the amusements, Ray McSharry's Good Time Emporium. It's the amusements out in... In a scrone?
Not in Sligo.
Right. You're right, yeah. Ray McSherry does not have a good time Emporium. Ross, you should get this one now. Picky Pete's Fishing Tackle, Ballisadair.
Yes.
Sorry?
In Sligo?
No, I completely made up. There's no such place as Picky Pete's Fishing Tackle.
Picky Pete's. I'm ahead here, I think.
I'm fucked now. I think I'm way two down.
Yeah,
actually, there's 40 questions anyways.
No, there's not that much. Azul's Bar, High Street, Murty.
Sorry?
Azul's Bar, High Street. Two old bar questions here. Are they in Sligo or not?
A-Z-U-L-S, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Sligo.
Yeah. Ross, the Ballymote.
The Ballymote.
Yeah, Barrett. Just called the Ballymote, though.
In Sligo.
Yeah.
It was in Tesco, I think.
Tesco Arcade. Yeah. Ronan, Frizzy Frocks Hair Studio.
Not in Sligo.
Yeah, made up. Ross, Charleston Athletic football pitch.
That is a great question.
What side of Charlestown is that?
Sorry?
What side of Charlestown?
Oh, it's for you to see. Is it in Sligo or not Sligo?
Oh. Not in Sligo.
Correct. Just an old urban legend that half the pitch was and thing, but I looked up the ordnance survey.
No, because it's up there. Yeah, yeah.
Murty, Giva?
Giva?
Yeah.
Giva. G-E-V-A.
Just answer the question, man.
Sligo.
Yeah. Ross, the Coach House Hotel.
Not in Sligo.
Famous hotel in Ballymote.
Sligo, Ballymote.
I think
you're doing an alarm system there. Murty, to go three ahead. The Chancellor Arms.
I think I'm three ahead now anyway, but Chancellor Arms, not in Sligo.
That's correct. Ross, two left each. One left each, sorry. Oh, no, two left each. Ross, you go with Crummies?
In Sligo.
Yeah.
Good place to get the TV fixed.
Crummy Electrical. Murty, Gormley's Ham?
Not in Sligo.
Correct. I don't know if there's a Gormley's Ham anywhere. Ross, Michael Richards, to your last question.
Oh,
Michael Richards.
Not in Sligo.
No, it's in Clooney. not sure what it does. It's crossing that Clooney Chinese. It's a sign called Michael Richards. Hairdressers,
I
think.
That play, yeah, I know it there, yeah.
You've had a shocker here, Ross, tonight. And Murty, last one of the day, Henry Durkin's Drapers.
Henry Durkin's, not in Sligo.
Correct.
I don't think the questions fell right for me tonight.
a romp. 10-5, I have it.
Yeah.
What did you say, Michael Richards?
Michael Richards.
There's a Richard Michaels.
Clooney.
Yeah.
Sir, give to him a 10-6.
Give you so, 10-6. Right. Very enjoyable. Murty takes the crown this week.
So that's it. Sure, I'll be retired as reigning champion, I suppose.
We'll have to see. We'll see what the reaction from the fans are. Do they want it back or not? Because there's a little spoilt child in the corner here. Right, we're going to come back with our axe lady, Ciara McGowan.
Let's bring her in.
So let's
see if people can recognise this intro music.
Yeah, she's got her own intro music. Let's see how we get on. And yeah, listen to this. It's about 20 minutes long and enjoy it. So with something a little bit different now, Ross, we're joined by Ciara McGowan, the Sligo Axe Thrower. Ciara, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Ciara, I suppose you came to the headlines a few weeks ago. We noticed when you were preparing for the Axe Throwing World Championships, is that correct?
Yeah. So the World Championships in Dullabit Axe Throwing takes place every 2 years. It was supposed to be on last year, but as we know, last year was pretty much cancelled. So was the competition. So it's been rescheduled again for this year, and it takes place in Canada, August 2022.
Okay.
And how has that gone, the extra year of preparation? Has that been a good thing, a bad thing?
It's kind of good and bad thing. I was looking forward to it at the time when we were kind of on the run up to it. And as well as that, I had a lot of back-to-back competitions, which means that, you know, like axe throwing is it's a very mental game. Like I can go out and I can throw in my garden and I can throw splendidly, or I could go to a competition and I could just get into my head and I could end up throwing, you know, horrifically. It just depends. So in terms of having the extra year for preparation, it's been great, but at the same time, you kind of need to get to as many competitions so you have that training and that element kind of ready to go, so that when I rock up to a competition, it's not kind of like, oh my god, I haven't thrown in so long, the axe is shaking in my hand, and you can kind of really get into a headspace for it.
So, Yola, let's go back to the start, I suppose. The question, how does someone from Sligo get into axe throwing or make a big on the axe throwing stage?
It didn't happen after a night out anyway, so that's for sure.
No, I was doing a master's in TV and radio broadcast production up in Dunleary, and we needed extra hands on a project we were working on, so we got in some college students from another college, and it was one of the girls, and I was chatting to her, and she said, yeah, I'm off to the woods tonight to throw axes with a bunch of hairy, smelly, sweaty men. And I was like, you're off to do what, where, with who?
Exactly.
Can anybody do this? And she was like, yeah, actually it's ladies night. So I drove home that evening, threw on as much plaid as I owned, my big wellies, because like, as far as I didn't know really where I was going, and kind of looking back on it, I did agree just to kind of go off into the woods to throw axes, a bit dodgy at the time, but no regrets.
I hope you got a friend to plant a safety call with them if you weren't back at a certain time.
Oh yeah, yeah, location. Phone location on.
So what was your, I suppose, first experience of it? Like, how was your first throw, or when did you realize, hang on, I'm pretty good at this?
So when I got up to the barn, there was about kind of maybe three or four of the lads there, and they were very friendly and welcome and open, and just very excited to have somebody else to kind of come down that they could kind of show the sport to. So they had two or three different kind of axes that you could use. So they were saying, you know, kind of have a feel of what one you think you might want to try, and kind of holding one and the other in the hand going like, oh God, this, like, they're both very heavy, they're both very big, I'm not really sure. And then it's just kind of, once you get out of that headspace and you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna throw it. So after my first throw, I got it down the range, but I didn't get it in the target, and then kind of by my second or third throw, it started to kind of hit the target, and I was like, oh yeah, this is good, I like this.
I have a few questions about the actual game. Okay,
yeah.
So how far are you away from the board?
So it's a round, instead of a board. So like in waffle, you'll have like the boards, but for double bit axe throwing, it's actually like, it's a round. So you're 20 feet from the target.
That is your category that you're in, the double bit is axe throw.
The double bit, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. So because there are loads of different categories out there at the moment, but double bit is the one I'm primarily competing.
That's the axe you showed us there with the double side, obviously. That's what that means.
That's the axe with the double bit side.
Wow. She's a beauty.
Describe it, Adrian, to our listeners.
Like something out of it. Or something. Safety medal, Jesus.
Oh my God.
Wow. Jesus. Excellent. So you couldn't just go into like home base and just pick up an axe?
Unfortunately, no. So you can go into home base and you can pick up hatchets if you want. And I would say that anybody that wanted to get into the sport.
I'm getting my hatchets and my axes mixed up. what is the scoring system then, Keola? Like, how do you win again? Sorry, I know that might seem like a stupid question.
Yeah, no, not at all. No stupid questions. So the bullseye is worth 5, and then it goes 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you'll have the 5 rings on the target. And then the bullseye is 1.5 meters from the ground up.
Very good.
Any synergy with darts? Would you follow darts?
I wouldn't. My dad would be a big darts fan now, and I'd sit down and I'd watch it if it's on in the background and he's watching it. But I wouldn't really go out of my way to kind of sit down and watch the match.
So then, right, okay. So you went your first night, and then you realised, yeah, I'm enjoying this. This is only 4 years ago, in 2018.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah. So
you started competing pretty quick then.
Yeah, so it was lucky timing, because I had gone to the barn, I had thrown a couple of axes, and at the time, the Wicklow Axe Throwers were hosting the first Irish Open, and they were hosting it in Green Anne. So they had competitors from Canada, the UK, Germany, Sweden, all coming to this competition that they were hosting. And it just so happened that they were kind of, you know, so supportive that they were saying, you know, you should enter. at the start, I was kind of like, ah, no, I won't be doing that. And then myself and two other girls ended up forming a team. And then kind of coming up closer to the date, I kind of thought to myself, sure, yeah, go on. I will enter into the individuals as well. So I entered into the individuals women's. I think I came like 9th or 10th or something like that. And then the teams that we entered in, we actually came third. And I was kind of like, I was very, very surprised about that. But literally, it was kind of like once the adrenaline of the competition hit, it was just like, yeah, I want to feel that buzz again.
So was this with the Wicklow Axe Throwers? That's your team, isn't it?
Yeah, the Wicklow Axe Throwers based out in Newtown, Mount Kennedy.
So, so that you went to the competition as part of them, but obviously you're going now kind of, are you under your own identity now, or do you like go still under a club when you go to the Worlds, or how does that work?
So I still compete under the Wicklow Axe Throwers flag, but I do have my own little separate TikTok account, which is the Irish Axe Chuckers, and you can kind of catch axe throwing related content there. In terms of the club and stuff like that, I would kind of, I think last year we had the Irish Open here and we had people coming to the Irish Open and people competed in that, but nobody else from the club actually got the chance to travel to compete, whereas I went to Germany and the UK to compete. So safe to say I'm competitive. Yeah. And, so that's why I kind of, I have like my little own social media, so you can kind of follow my kind of journeys and my stories there.
Damn right you're competitive. The German Open, you really chuck some axes over there. You can come home with a fight.
Yes, that was I was gobsmacked. I was literally gobsmacked. So I went over to compete thinking, you know, it would be good to kind of get him back to competitions and stuff like that. And I like the couple of times that I have been called to the podium, I'm normally not paying attention and I usually have to be shouted at. And this time around, I knew they were doing the ladies category and I knew that I had come first in the ladies category. And so I was like, I was standing by, holding my axe, ready for the photo opportunity. And they announced my name and I was like, okay, brilliant. And I started walking up to collect it and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? What's wrong? And then they started chatting in German to each other and then like a big German announcement. And I kind of looked over the translator to be kind of like, you know, English, what's happened? Yeah, yeah. I was kind of like, what's going on? And everybody just kind of started looking at me and clapping. And I was like, no, really, what's going on? And they're like, so for... you're being deported. So for the, out of all the international throwers, you're the best. And I was like, huh? And they're like, yeah. So you win international throwers. And I was like, I didn't even realize it was a thing. But yeah, so that completely like.
Brilliant. So are you currently ranked number 4 in the world?
For the female division, yes.
Okay. So I just, what are your competitors like? In my head, I'm just like, imagine these like really eccentric international different characters. And you've just like really fierce rivalry. Tell me I'm wrong. Or
So the axe throwing community, like I say kind of like I have kind of like, you know, like my family and then I have like my axe fam, and the axe throwing community is just like one big gigantic family and it's fans.
So you don't have a big nemesis, no?
There's no nemesis. No, there's a couple of girls that I'm kind of like, oh, I'm looking out for you. Like you've got Aggie Hepburg. She's the current female world champion. And then there's another girl called Sheila Serengeti. And my God, she can throw. And it's just like, but there's no kind of animosity there. Like it's funny, there was a video that one of the lads put up, but it was me and Anke were on the throwing line during the finals and she had like got a stiff neck, so I'd like started like giving her a quick massage and I was kind of like, it's fine, loosen up, you've got this. And it's just, it's that complete like there is a huge competitiveness, but nobody is vicious about it. Everybody is so supportive and has your back, and it's just like it's a bit surreal when you think about it.
Right. And what so the Worlds are on in August 22. What kind of prizes are on offer for a world champion axe thrower if you win it? Is it a big money game?
Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's axes or trophies. I think in Canada, I know like in Canada that when they host their competitions and stuff like that, sometimes they even do raffles and bits and pieces. One of the lads won a chainsaw at one stage. So I haven't actually looked into what the prizes are for the world championships. I'm kind of more concerned about the title than anything else.
I don't
care what else comes with it.
I'm just wondering, is there a big diet novelty check coming your way?
No, I don't think so.
But is there an official, is there an overall Irish Axe Throwing Society like funds for travel costs to Canada? It mustn't be cheap. Like, do you get backing that way, or how does that work?
So through So there's like, at the moment, it's kind of like, you know, whatever kind of media attention that we can get in bits and pieces. I've been chatting to one of the guys in Sligo who was saying, you know, a good idea might be to kind of go to like a couple of businesses and see if they want to pool in under like a Visit Sligo heading. I have secured a personal sponsorship with a axe throwing company in the UK. They got me through TikTok, so Axe House UK have been my first official sponsors, which is fantastic because it means that now the ball is rolling. So hopefully once you know, people say like once you get started, then more tend to follow.
Have you any links for any businesses that might be listening now or personal donors? How do they make donations or get involved?
So you can hit me up on Instagram with my Irish Axe Chuckers on Instagram or TikTok, or there's also the email address irishaxechuckers@outlook.com, or at this stage if you Google me I'm pretty easily found.
But it must be, I suppose it is a bit of hardship, I suppose, having to fundraise to play your sport. Or Do you define it as a sport? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I wonder if we'll ever get the axe thrown in the Olympics. Maybe.
Hopefully, that would
There's
be amazing.
There's more obscure ones than that in there.
I'm telling you. You're not wrong.
Carrying the Olympic torch in one hand and the big and an axe in another. Some sort of sport.
No, I just seen something earlier when we were doing a bit of prep. You're trying to get into the Guinness Book Records for consecutive trick shots.
Yes. So myself and Ross Hetherington, who's the other half of the Axe Chuckers on the TikTok page, have applied to the Guinness World Book of Records for consecutive trick shots within a time frame. So we're just waiting for word to come back from them. And hopefully we get to push forward with that. And that'll be something exciting we get to do this year as well.
Talk us through the trick shots.
So trick shots. So typically speaking, in axe throwing, you hold the axe with two hands at the bottom of the handle, and it comes straight back. It comes straight back over your head and then forward. Trick shots can be one-handed throw, or you can also have it that the axe, instead of going over, is going under the hand. You also have what's called the golf shot, and you basically hold it like a golf club and off to the side. So there's a couple of variations that you can do. So they're basically a non-conventional means of throwing the axe.
Very good.
Which qualifies a trick shot.
You know, when you're traveling to competitions, I know you've been in Germany and the UK and going to Canada, what kind of looks do you get going through customs with seven axes? And how do you explain that?
So generally they're grand, actually. So there was only one time that I had a conversation with check-in, and they were kind of like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. And it's kind of like, well, you've just let like 20 other people in ahead of me, so are you going to go get them too? And only us. So generally speaking, it goes in the checkage and it goes under sporting equipment. So
tell me, so obviously you remember the Wicklow axe throwers, okay? And I just seen that you operate out of Wicklow in Dublin. But for any people here in the West, the Westies, how do they get involved in chucking a bit of axe?
There is a place down in Galway called Tomahawks. Okay. And they do hatchet throwing. Now, I know they do double bit throwing, but I don't know if that's just for themselves. You'd need to kind of look up the website to check it. But down the West, that's where you need to go.
Very good. When we put out that we're going to have you on, we were bombarded with a few questions, three in total.
Amazing.
Would you mind that? Well, it's more than we usually get.
Three more.
Go for it.
So I got one here from Mary Igo. She says she's a 13-year-old daughter who obviously noticed you in the last few weeks and was wondering what was the best way to get her into axe throwing. She's interested in getting involved. So what would be, I'm not sure where Mary's from. But any tips on the best way to get into it? Look up your TikTok.
And I do say this to kind of like my TikTok followers and stuff like that. If you want to get into the sport of axe throwing, start off small. Get one of the small hatchets from kind of like hardware shops and stuff like that. And the targets that you set up for the hatchets, they're just a couple of planks of wood. So make sure that you have the space for yourself, a bit of planks of wood, and just kind of start throwing axes. If you wanted to kind of get a safe introduction to it, then do seek out one of the axe throwing venues. I think there might be one in Cork as well, I'm not sure, but there's definitely one in Dublin, which is Axe Club Dub, and they do the hatchet throwing. And then you've got Tomahawks down in Galway. So before kind of launching into buying anything yourself, if you could get to those venues ahead of schedule, that'd be the best thing.
Hope that's satisfying.
But start small. Start small.
Yeah. A question I had from a Gar Clancy. What's the RRP on one of those axes you might have? Are they expensive?
The what?
What's the
Yeah, so this particular axe is a halter force double bit throwing axe, and it can range anywhere between kind of 300 up to 600 euro, depending on where you get them and where you buy them. There's other brands like the Grants Forest Brook axe. Again, you're looking at the same kind of price range, and those two are both made in Sweden. Oshinkoff is slightly less expensive, kind of, you know, maybe 250-300. They've gone really popular, so the sport is starting to grow, people are starting to notice it. A few years ago the Holtfest double bit throwing axe wasn't that expensive, but now you can see that there has been quite a price
hop. And you don't need any license. Like, I mean, if you're pulled over by the guards and you have a boot full of axes, what would you say you then, you know?
So I have club insurance, and then I have all my little newspaper slippings, and I'll just be kind of like, I'm the one from the TV, don't arrest me.
Next question is, it's a very random one, a short one from Jonathan Swift. Who's your favorite axe? Axel Foley or Axel Rose?
Foley.
Yeah, I go with that as well. How much do they weigh, actually, the axes? Does that determine how they throw or how they fly?
Yeah, so the halter force axe is typically about 2.2 kg, and there is a minimum weight requirement. So there are criteria that you have to meet. The handle has to be a minimum length. The bits, the two sharp ends on the side, they have to be under 6 inches, and the weight has to be at least over 1 kg. So the halter force is 2.2 kg. And then the lightest axe I have is about 1.6 kg. The heaviest is 2.4.
No more than a boxing match. Would you have a weigh-in? Like, would they check the axe weights?
They do, before? Yeah.
Really? And would there be any messing going on? Any shite-hawking?
No, generally they're very good, although what I have seen before, they normally have a device, so they can either have like a steel frame, and what they do is they pop the bits into the steel frame, and the bits have to fit within that point. If they don't, what they will tend to do is they'll tend to take a file and they'll just take it off the top bit.
Right.
And file it down until it fits within that 6-inch parameter. In terms of the weight, if it doesn't meet the weight parameters, there's not a whole lot you can do to actually add additional weight, so it just won't be cleared for throwing. Okay. So each axe for big competitions, they're checked, and then like you get a little sticker on them to make sure that they're okay for throwing before you throw. So even if some people bring two or three axes, they all need to be checked, and they all need to be certified before you can throw them for the competition.
We're doing a bit of research. We said, look at your Instagram page, obviously. You were on a pole with an axe. It looked a bit dangerous. Was that for, I don't know,
modified training, was it?
Yeah.
So I actually took up pole fitness in Sligo many years before I took up axe throwing. And one of the things that I was keen on continuing when I moved up to Dublin was the pole fitness. And I found a studio in Harold's Cross. Called Fierce Fitness. And at the time, I was kind of coming up towards the end of the degree, and that was when I found axe throwing. And then I couldn't afford both, so I ended up choosing axe. I had to pick axe or studio, and I chose axe. and then I got a job that I could afford both again. So I took up both again, and this time I went to a studio in Bray called Flow Fitness. And it was last year was the first time that I had ever done this, but the girls actually, they would organize showcases so that you can kind of showcase like a routine that you've learned yourself, but they also did photo shoots. So I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, yeah, I'll go for this like photo shoot kind of thing. That sounds awesome, and I'll give that a try. And Like, it's definitely a confidence booster, if nothing else. And I turned around to my instructor, Eve, and I was kind of like, do you think I can bring my axe? And she was like, yes, yeah, sure. Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's how that photo came about.
Very good, very good.
Are you on track? How was the like? Obviously, in August is the championship. How are you on track? Your confidence?
I'm confident, yeah. So this year there has been 3 competition dates announced on top of the world. So there's a UK competition in June, a German competition in June as well, and also the German Open is taking place in July. So I've got my eyes set on those targets. It's not just the World Championships. I need to I want to hit up as many as I possibly can in preparation for the World Championships. So I've all my time booked off work. Haven't actually made it as far as booking the flights yet, but we'll get there.
Would there be any people full-time axe throwing, or is would everyone else be working as well?
Everybody's working as well. So so some people actually, like the guys in Canada, the Timber Lounge guys, they have a bar and it's a bar restaurant, but they do axe throwing it as well. And then Darren is also like a world-class logger, and he does like, you know, like the, when you're standing on the log in the water and you're like rolling it and stuff like that, he does all that kind of mental stuff and camps and stuff like that. So he would be very axe orientated. And then you would have just kind of like ordinary Josephs going back to their 9-to-5 after the competition. It blew my mind to think that, you know, back at the first competition when I met Daniel Hepburg, who was at the time the world male champion axe thrower, and he actually gave me a couple of pointers, and I was like, oh my god, he's so nice. It was mad to think that, like, oh, you're just going back to like your normal everyday job now, what?
we might put a poll up later on which pub in Sligo you're most likely to get an axe thrown at.
Swagman Bar, because they have their very own axe, because they sponsored me in 2019 to go. So okay. Swagman Bar actually has his own axe hanging proudly.
Good man, Dale. Yeah. Look, Ciola, that's about it. We love an old bandwagon here, so we're fully behind you. And we'll be following you and promoting you the whole time. So Irish Axe Chuckers on Instagram and TikTok, and Axe House UK, if you want, get in touch to try and if anyone wants to jump on board and fund the training and the World Championships. But yeah. Best of luck. Roll on August 2022.
Yeah. Best of luck. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, guys.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Yep. And that was Ciola, lads. Yeah, so something different, as you said again, but enjoyable insight into the axe community of Ireland. Yep. We'll go try it out soon enough, won't we?
A bit of crack.
We got some tips there anyway for...
We did, yeah, but the trick shots. So if you want to sponsor Ciola in her journey to the World Championships, you can get it in the interview.
That's it.
We are going to come back with Marty and the football. Okay, Marty, 2 weeks since we've been on, obviously a lot has happened. And we'll start with the Rovers, and not much has happened there really in terms of the transfers we were expecting to see in.
No. It really hasn't.
They've started their pre-season campaign since then, obviously.
Because they signed Keane by the time we were on the last time, and that was that day, yeah. So yeah, they just they played out 2 draws in the last week or so, one with Phil Heaps, one all in the showgrounds. I didn't make that one. We had training for Catherine that night. Not that I was training or anything, but... then last Friday they drew nil all with Derry.
So is the problem where people are saying is the problem?
I think so.
That no signings of strikers or attacking players.
Attacking players, yeah. Now you'd hope maybe I've heard rumours now, which you can't hard to listen to this time, but heard rumours of a couple of lads been signed this week. I'd imagine they are going to sign players. Like, but whether it's very close. I mean, sure, we're kicking off Saturday week
at home to Bowes.
Saturday week at home to Bowes. Yeah, it's going to be tough there at the start of the season, no matter what happens in the next 10 days, because. It's going to... Oh, I'm just forgetting to text in a new Rover signing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. This is breaking news.
I think it's a rumour, though.
Show it out.
So, right. I don't know where this came from.
Show it out.
It's just like a rumour. A guy called Nando Pinnaker.
Calrissian.
So, he's a New Zealand professional, centre-back, who plays for Portugal 2 league club Rio Ave and the New Zealand national team.
Yeah?
And that's just what I'm seeing in the picture. I won't disclose
it. What's his name now?
Nando P-I-J-N-A-K-E or Pinnaker.
Nando Pinnaker, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be great to get Pinacker in if we can, but he could be on the way to Rover, so you're saying.
This is just breaking news as we speak, so yeah, that's a centre half.
Brilliant, brilliant. A few strikers maybe and get going, but good news, one striker who I think might step up with them this year, Chris, and Johnny Kenny Mould, Caelan Barlow, scored heavily the whole way up, and he's been called into the Irish under-19 training squad today.
Great to see. I think Caelan signed he signed a fresh contract this year, his first professional contract this year.
Yeah.
So, good to see. Look, and similar to Johnny last year, we had the problem last year with attacking players as well. If a player can step up from our under-19s, our youth teams and be able to do it, all the better, you know. Hopefully, all I've heard about Caelan is good anyway. So, hopefully, so, as I say, if we don't get anybody in, a couple of the younger lads can step up.
Yeah, well, his goal scoring for underage very impressive. But so, is it time at Rovers to crack our heads open and feast on the sweet goo inside? Is it time for panic without the signing?
Well, look, we just made a signing here. That's got absolutely no substance to it, but
yes,
it's a rumor.
Yes, I will, Kent.
hopefully we get a couple of players in next week.
Who is the remaining pre-season against, do you know?
They have Athlone on Friday.
Where is that?
That is in Northern at home. They're in Showgrounds.
All right.
A lot of the games have actually been behind closed doors. I assume that one won't be.
The Finharson wasn't.
No, the Finharson wasn't.
Because I was in for a few minutes at it, and I was also at an Astro game going on at the same time, actually. So is the Longford game going to be rescheduled? You don't know. I suppose I just threw that question at you. I know it's called off.
No, I don't think so. I think
so. Athlone's the last game.
Last this Friday, and then it's all systems go Saturday week again.
Came around very quick, didn't it?
Did, yeah. Shorter off season this year. They're getting back quicker. Obviously, the season went on a bit longer last year with COVID, but yeah, it doesn't feel like that long since that Bowes game. That Bowes game, yeah. I suppose that was. Was that last week in October? No, it was a bit later.
Maybe,
it's into November at that stage, but it's definitely been a shorter off-season. So, yeah, look, hopefully we're toasting Rovers' win.
We'll be toasting in Killonan that night, Ross.
We certainly will.
We're at a wedding. Right, junior soccer has really gripped
the nation,
the town. It's been 2 weeks of twists and turns. We'll start with the Super League. Cartran have gone 5 points clear in the last few weeks. There is game in hand for Kirby, that is the caveat. Are Strand out of the equation? Did a big win against Kirby Friday night, 3-1?
They're not just out of the equation yet, I'd say.
Like it was a quick run at the top four there. Just
yeah, so basically we have Cartran, 17 games played, 43 points. Kirby, 16 games played, 38 points. Then Strand are in third with 17 games played and 34 points. And MCR are fourth on 32 points, haven't played 16. So, yeah, Strand will be 9 points off us at the minute with the same amount of games played. We do play Strand, I think, second last game of the season.
They were impressive. You were at that game on Friday night. They were impressive, weren't they? A lot of pace and power.
Power, pace.
Yeah.
For the underground of fixtures in this league,
they could make the burst.
They could have made the burst, yeah. Now, they were very good. I thought they were very good on Friday.
They were very good, yeah.
Very impressive. I was impressed with them that day. They beat us up in the Showgrounds there prior to Christmas as well. I was very impressed with them that day. Yeah. Some serious individual performances.
Leo Doherty was standing out. He's still running.
It's probably one. Excellent. Might be one of the best performances, individual junior league performances I've
left
seen.
Left back for a right footed player.
Because remember we were saying, where would you play him? But in the end, it was probably the right position.
It was, yeah. He just bombed forward they didn't know. They couldn't handle him, really. Yeah. He was excellent. He was everywhere.
Arnold Boyle was excellent. He picked up the block. He's made a big difference. I thought Barry O'Mahony actually had a great game. Old friend of the show and guest.
Good second half.
Very good. When they needed him to control it, I thought he was very impressive.
Yeah, he came into it big time, yeah.
So, that certainly open thing. Well, I suppose it was still open at that stage, but...
That took you to Saturday night against Ballymote.
Saturday night against Ballymote, yeah. Probably not one of our greatest displays up until about the 60th minute. I did always feel we were going to score, to be honest with you. Especially when we came out in the second half. We created a couple of chances at the start of the second half, and in fairness to Ballymote, they'd put a lot into the first half, I think. They had kind of tried to contain us and hit us on the break, but quick fire. I suppose we scored 4 goals in about 15 minutes, I'd say.
Around that, I'd say it was. Yeah,
great hat trick from Ballyskeagh Spratt, and Dolan Gallagher got another goal as well. So, it's a big any game you play now, you don't really care. You take, if someone offers 5-1 nils now between now and the end of the season,
that'll be the league wrapped up.
I'd snap your hands off, yeah. Of course, I'd snap your hand off. It's a stupid
set. Kirby down a few, obviously, their night. Yarl Mearns, obviously, a huge loss for them.
Yeah, big loss for them,
Jason Lyons as well.
Yeah, Jason, he was out, I think. Him and Yaw will be two, obviously, the best players in the league. Yeah, they are big losses for them. So
you don't know what the situation that they'll do back. They're playing all for Bond this weekend in the Junior Cup.
Shout out now, yeah. Best of luck to them up there representing the league. Don't know much about Oliver Bond, but you know, you assume in the Junior Cup.
Seeing a fella played against them. He texted me today, he played against them in Dublin 3 years ago. He said they were excellent.
Excellent, yeah.
So, could be a tough task.
Best. Yeah, it's tough indeed, especially at this later stage of the Junior Cup. Like, home draw excellent is huge. Teams, yeah. The home draw is huge, you know. So yeah, best of luck to Kerry going up there, as I say, representing the league. It's the last 32 the All-Ireland. Even getting this far is a very good achievement.
Very good. The Premier League had Super Sunday yesterday. The top four all faced off, and Johns are back top of the pack.
Well, they're joined with Killarney now.
They're top in goal difference.
sorry, I apologize. there, yeah, well, look, they're top of the league. Your statement is factually correct. That was a big win for them now, going up 4-0 and winning 4-1. Glenview had been in great form. I think with the way the results went yesterday, Killarney and Cawley both played out a 1-1 draw. I think it is now between the two of them. I think the other two, Cawley
had the win, really, didn't they?
Yeah, Cawley, and I think Glenview, that loss is a killer for Glenview as well. Now, they do have games at hand. Both of them do have games at hand, so that would be on St. John's. But like say, Killarney now have 5 points on Cawley and 6 on Glenview. It'd be hard to turn that round in 6 or 7 games. Look, I'm not ruling them out. But I just thought with the way the results fell, I think Killarney probably would have settled for that 1-1 draw. They were down to 10 men early.
Okay.
I think Cawley had a lot of chances. So I think they would probably be the happier two with the 1-1. So as it stands, I'll just give a quick run through. St. John's are top, played 16, 33 points. Killarney are second, played 15 with 33 points. Cawley third, played 15, 28. And Glenview fourth, played 15, 27. Mentioned Kilglass and Enniscrone, they've been on a great run. They got turned over 2-0 by Gertchen yesterday. They're back in fifth, played 14 games with 24 points. Might just be a bit of an ask for them to
probably would. Killarney
looked only 4 points off third, which will get you a playoff spot.
So Killarney haven't won in 2 games now since I had Chowder with the Carrick Town manager. Yeah. That was a big reversal.
That was in the bus
hotel, was it? Yeah, the bus. Yeah. Well, I said it straight out. People laughed. They were ready for them, and they turned them over. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bit of flack over it.
Yeah, Ross, you had to deal with an angry Instagram.
There was an irate
messenger.
Instagram message, yeah, but we had to calm the waters there and.
But not giving them due respect, but yeah. So, big shout out to Peter Walsh too. The longest man serving in junior soccer. His son scored 2 goals for Gertrude yesterday, actually.
I wonder was he in goals.
I don't know.
He might have been. Yeah, that's very good. So, good few names got mentioned that, like the horse.
Horse Candon. I must give him a shout as well. He won the 50-50 draw in Eastern
Harris. Yeah. He came on for a hundred there a couple of weeks ago.
What was Peter Walsh, 86? Was that what they're reckoning?
That's the year we were born, sure.
36 years ago this year.
Yeah. Madness.
Crazy, but it's an exciting finish now. It's like, when does Connacht Cup just before nip in again?
The last two left in the Connacht Cup are
Strahan and Ballysadare.
Yeah, and they play in the last 16 on the 27th of February. Ballysadare are at home to Merview, and Strahan play
Merview B.
Yeah, so that would be the 27th. Actually, no, that's not the week we were scheduled to play Strahan. But
I was wondering when the league will get ran off. Really, is what my thoughts are.
We have, if I'm not sure, like will the local cups be played? Sometimes they're played before the. They're played before the league finishes out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll happen. League fixtures are scheduled up to the 27th of February anyway. So that will, like, at that stage, we've only got 2 league games left after it. So if it went off to normal, it'd be the 12th of March we'd be finishing up on.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, we'll do our rundown of the fixtures and a few predictions.
Yeah, right. So we will start with the Super League. So Friday night in the Astro and Ballysadare, Ballymote Celtic take it home to Arrow Harps.
Sorry, I was looking at the message there. Who'd you say?
Ballymote Celtic at home to Arrow Harps.
Where's that game played?
Ballysadare.
All right. 2-1 to Ballymote. I think they showed enough the other night to show that they might have a bit of fighting now.
They need that. Yeah, they would. If that'd be a big win, they'd probably give them a chance of staying up. Then on Saturday night, again in the Astro and Ballysadare, it's Ballysadare United home to Cartron.
Oh, you owe them one from the cup a few weeks back. 1-0 to Cartron. Squeaky bone time.
First one of them 1-0s coming in, is it?
Yeah.
Then actually, Jesus, good night on Saturday. It's Strand Celtic are home to MCR, third against fourth.
In the Strand Zero. MCR, I've kind of forgotten what people told me with Strand. Like, if MCR win, they're ahead of Strand and they have a game in hand over them as well, do they?
No, they're 2 points behind now, but they have a game in hand on them. Yeah, so if they won, they'd
if they won, they'd be ahead with a game in hand still. Yeah, playing Strand, they're mobility and fitness, they're going well. 2-1 to Strand.
That'd be a good game, actually. It's a pity now we're playing tonight. And then also on Saturday night, it's the Premier League. Then on Sunday, Manor Rangers, who suffered a big reversal, must give Tupper a shout out to 1-7.
Sorry, I was supposed to say, 17. This must have scored 7 in the second half,
maybe.
7
goals in the second half, I think, scored, yeah.
Outrageous.
Outrageous behaviour. I've been saying all year, I have said about Tupper, I can't understand how they're still sitting in third bottom, but they're some lovely footballers playing for them.
But the field that Manor Boys must throw in the hat at it, like.
I'm not sure, yeah.
It's 7 goals in the second half.
7 goals in the second half, yeah. It's strange, especially for Manor. It's very strange. Very
interesting.
Now, they're at home to Merville United on Sunday at 11 o'clock.
I'll go 3-0 to Manor.
3-0 to Manor. And then finally, in the Super League, we'll have Cliffany at home to Rail Tubber.
One-one.
Right, moving on to the Premier League. On Saturday night, league leader St. John's at home to Gertsen and the Walsh Foundation.
Yeah, the Walsh Foundation. John's surely be buoyed by Sunday, so 2-0.
Perfect. Then Sunday we have Ennis Grone at home to Drumahair. It's a good old trip for Drumahair.
Ennis Grone, Drumahair. They might do an overnighter. Ennis Grone, yeah, 2-1 to Ennis Grone, yeah.
Ennis Grone. Carrick at home to Valley, which would be a derby of sorts.
Derby. Valley have kind of gone down a bit since the manager made the rally and call, people have to watch out for them. That one, but yeah. I think they're going to bounce back. They'll get a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw
up in Carrick.
Then Ballygawley at home to Glenview. That'd be a good game too.
Good game, yeah. Might be hard for Glenview to rise it up again. So I'll go 1-0 to Ballygawley.
Ballygawley, yeah. Then Kerry make the long journey to Grange to play Ben Bulbin FC.
Yeah, it was funny. You said I was out in Strigia last week doing a bit of fishing with the Ben Bulbin manager, Ray the Rock, he says, going to give it them to hell. So I'm going to go 1-0 to Ben Bulbin.
1-0 to Ben Bulbin, yeah, interesting, yeah. And then Corey Bowes looking to, well, not bounce back, but looking to maintain a title charge at home to Chaffield United.
They'll do it. They'll beat Chaffield 3-1.
3-1. Yeah. Okay, that's about 8, I think.
That's very good, yeah. Soccer. Looking forward to the running now. There's a good buzz around town. There's a huge crowd at the Strand Kerry match.
Yeah.
Very, very poor crowd at Sheerigan.
Very poor crowd at that game, yeah. I don't know what happened.
I was expecting loads out of it, yeah.
I suppose it was Saturday night. It was absolutely
awful. Shittier night, yeah.
And, we were saying, I think because there was a huge crowd at the two Premier League games on Sunday.
Was there?
In Coleraine Killarney, there was a huge crowd over at it. So, I know it's great to see the old crowds back. I think, as you were saying earlier before the show, that what the game spread out over the weekend gives people a chance to go to all these games. But yeah, definitely good buzz. Yes. People are asking me all over the place about it now. So
yeah, that's good. Ross, you were in the UV at the weekend and you were in Belfast or Graham Dewhurst 2 weeks ago, so we'll come back with the rugby next.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. The great bullock of a man, this fella.
Right, Roscoe, where do we start? We start with the local scene or the international scene?
Oh, we'll just go international quickly and then jump into
the Yeah, you're in the Viva on Saturday for the first game of the Six Nations.
Yeah, it was good to be back. I think everyone was just more happy about being in a full crowd than they were watching the match, but kind of a carnival atmosphere.
Carnival.
Yeah, there was big crowds there, a full house. The Guinness was flowing indeed.
Not flooring, no.
Oh,
not flooring.
No.
It was actually a famous horse just now that we've got up in this call, Flooring Porter, that won at Cheltenham last year. So.
Well, there we go. You won the Guinness of the match.
I was on the Guinness of the match, yeah, and it was tasty enough. Now, yeah, the game started well. Look, Ireland got the job done, bonus point, first game of the Six Nations campaign, so you don't want to be the finished article in your first game, you know. So,
but you can lose it all in your first game. You can lose the Triple Crown and the Grand Slam in your first game.
Could, but I don't think there's any danger of it for the whole game.
No, like, Wales were very poor,
yeah. The Irish team is showing some good progression. Like Mac Hansen, it looks like he's going to be a great fella to have around in a World Cup campaign.
Grandparents Irish,
yeah, Cork. So look, he's a kind of an extra playmaker, plays fullback, plays centre. You put him anywhere, he's just an absolute footballer, and it's just something that we don't naturally produce in this country. So he's a nice link man. He can pop up anywhere and get that pass away, and he's pretty good one on one himself. So he's been a nice find.
The debut man always gets man in the match, doesn't he?
Who's
the debut man?
Yeah, he was brilliant. Like there was a few other players that were brilliant, but he was a crowd favourite already. Yeah, yeah. With the long hair and the scrum cap, a bit of a hero. A good character.
I seen someone today, I can't think where it was, saying, is Tyke Furlong the best player in the world at the minute?
It's absolutely, arguably is, like.
Yeah.
he's just seems to be getting better and better. And like, it's no coincidence that Ireland's form has started to come back since he's come back from injury. Like, he really is that important to the team. But I think the Irish front row now is actually
best in the world as well, do you reckon?
Yeah, well, your man Kelleher's coming on like really, really well. His throwing's gotten more consistent, and he's just a freak. Like,
Porter's rip as well was fucking great.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Porter's been even better, arguably, since he's gone back to Loosehead.
And I reckon he's the best in his position in the world as well. Where the, was I listening to this?
The best in the world podcast. Yeah. Well, look, the back
row. Do you reckon? Who's saying it?
But I think the back row is actually looking really good now as well. It's really settled. Like, the three of them, you wouldn't say they're superstars by their own right, but they're really effective as a unit. Van der Fleer, it's energy, and Caelan Doris has just been fantastic since he came back in. His ball carrying, and then Conan just goes all day. So it's, look, the pack is looking really well. Second row is obviously good depth there, and it's optimistic. I know we've had a lot of false dawns, but at least we're trying to play a bit of rugby. Unlike with Smith, we were getting results, but wasn't great to watch at times, was it?
No.
So I think this Irish team, like, they won't die wondering. They'll go out and they'll concede, but they'll score. So
I enjoyed Ringrose's try now. It was kind of O'Driscoll-esque, yeah. I thought.
I would like Henshaw, and I would put Henshaw back in and put and keep Bundy as well. Oof. I just think in the big matches, their partnership is sensational. Like, remember that game against England when Bundy came back in and it was the two of them, and they just absolutely demolished the English centres, and even in that third test for the Lions when they played together. I just think for the big games, the big test games, you put them two fellas in there.
You want Ringer out, so?
Ringer out. Get him out.
Big call.
The snooty Frenchmen this weekend.
Yeah, look, the French weren't fantastic yesterday. They said were fantastic individually. Like, they did some, but they didn't look too. You can score against them, I'd say.
Yeah.
And Ireland will go over there, and their attack's going to go all right. I think their forward pack will match them, so it's got a really big game feel to it. So
what day is that on? Sorry,
Saturday.
Saturday. What
Saturday
time?
Evening, isn't it?
Sure.
So I think it's Saturday evening at 4:45.
Right. It's 4:45.
That's all right. That's all right.
Our game is moved earlier to 1 o'clock against Buccaneers.
I actually, were you, none of you watched Scotland England, no?
I did. Watched the first half.
I backed the draw, and England turned down a kickable penalty with a couple of minutes to go.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Jones, I knew he wouldn't go for it. Eddie Jones is just pig.
I know. Yeah. But like, a draw up there is surely a good result. I know. I'm totally
for you.
But I was on the way to our game, and then I got the text to say that they turned down a kickable penalty. And that
what odds was the draw?
20s.
Right. I suppose it's rare in rugby, isn't it?
Very rare. Yeah.
20s.
Just in that game, it kind of seemed like, I'd say it's a long time since Scotland and England were. They were pretty much even money for the match each.
Yeah. I actually enhanced the first try score. So it's really leapt in the year when he made that break down the wing in the first couple of seconds.
Oh, and actually, something that's a grind in my gear during the week was when the English fans in Murrayfield with an England jersey and a Scotland face paint and singing the Scottish anthem.
Sing that.
Fuck off.
I did see that.
Make your mind up. I obviously had a Scottish girlfriend or something there.
It's a good song, I say, is probably the issue there. But
it's definitely the best anthem, isn't it?
Are the words not about defeating the English army?
Yeah.
And him there with the big England jersey.
And singing it, yeah. I'm a big fan of the Marseillais and the French one, and the Italian one as well.
It's a good competition for us.
It's going to be a good tournament this year, and I think it's just going to segue into a good World Cup next year. I think I think the cycle's changed. Like, everyone goes offensive, but I think this World Cup cycle, I think everyone's just having a crack. Everyone's going for it. So
Sonny Bill was in the Aviva.
Yeah, was he
just sitting beside?
No, was he not doing some training with some Irish boxer and some team?
Was he
online? Yeah,
imagine just sitting down with him there.
He was on one of the radio shows last weekend.
Right, he's in the circuit.
Like, obviously, we're nothing special, the three of us, but he's getting slated for his punditry over in New Zealand. He's on the Stan TV doing the halftime punditry, and he's stone users. like they're feeding him lines, and he's getting the words mixed up. Like, look, I can't talk at all. Anyway,
it's like a video you showed me there for the show, Ronan. It's like a video you showed me for the show.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'll show you the video of it. Actually,
two. Do you want to go local? So
yeah, to Derrymore Park
in South Belfast, is it?
I think we were deep in East Belfast, so we were.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
East.
We're in behind enemy lines.
So how are all the gang up in East Belfast? Keeping well, yeah.
Yeah, they were a lovely bunch. I actually went to the pre-match luncheon before the match with
soup.
It was an unbelievable spread, actually. I was sitting beside Craig Gilroy, who was their guest speaker.
All right,
He was just fresh off his... scored the winning try.
Actually, officer, what's a luncheon?
A luncheon? Well, I think it's just all their alakadoos and blades.
No, but, you know, there's a lunch and then there's a luncheon.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, no.
A bit fancier. But anyways, I love
Jeez, Gilroy, he stopped...
He played the night before for the winning try, but he got a red card. The mitigating factors brought it down to a yellow, and he just got the sin bin and came back on, scored the winning try. But since then, he's been cited and got a 3-week ban.
All right.
But he was full of bubbles that morning. Yeah. He was thinking he'd escape the ban, and he was a good speaker now. Actually, he was a bit of crack. So
what happened on the field? He started like a house on fire.
Yeah. So going into the match, we were at the end of a block of three very tough games. We're missing a lot of players going into the game, like a lot of fellas that would have been in the 20. Eddie Coy, the Matthew O'Hara, Dara Byrne, Owen Ryan, Brian West, Ryan Feely, Ewan Brown, and Philip Carter. So, like, we don't have an absolutely massive squad, and like to be missing fellas of them, eight fellas of that caliber was tough work. But look, we went into the match, you know, really expecting to get a result. In the first 5 minutes, we had a bit of a real double blow. Pedro Bangalo and Rob Holian both injured after the first 5 minutes. Pedro fell onto a person who had their studs facing upwards, and it sliced into his leg and cut him to the bone on his thigh. It was a horrendous injury. We couldn't see anything that happened, and then someone passed in a napkin into the commentary box saying, "Very bad cut, bone showing. Terrible injury, and ambulance on the way." So it's just like, right, what do we say here? But anyways, he went into the hospital after the game and they stitched him up. They said he's extremely lucky, no tendons, muscles or ligaments damaged, because we'd spoke to the doctor after the game that was there and they said, "Look, lads," he goes, "it's looking pretty bad, like he's out for the season and could be even longer." It looked horrendous. I didn't show you the picture of it, no?
I won't see it.
No, it's brutal, like, so... Thankfully, he was stitched up that evening, and the doctor said to him, "There, 4 weeks, he'll be back playing." But I can't see it being 4 weeks myself if it is happy days. But anyway, Rob Holian bust his ribs as well in the first couple of minutes. So the two of them went off, which are our two biggest men in the pack. And to be fair, like we settled back into the game, and we were 15-3 at half time, had played well. They got a yellow card, and we scored two tries during their yellow card period. And we're in the ascendancy. We had a massive win behind us in the first half, so you kind of knew that they were going to come back at us. Then in the second half, we went up, scored another try early doors, really good try. We're 22-3 up. Matthew Early and DeGavin and Guilherme Coghetto were the try scorers. And then it was strange. Like, it just turned on the flick of a coin. They blocked down one of Josh's kicks and got a line out 5 metres out from it then and scored a try. And that just gave them real gusto. And then they turned us over, went down and scored again, and like the momentum had turned then completely. We had to bring our bench on very early, so we had no reserves or no energy coming off the bench late in the game, and our set piece was in a bit of trouble, the line out in the scrum, and they really started to, like, they were winning all of our scrums. You stop winning your scrums, you're not going to win a game. And then we got a yellow card then as well, just for pressure. And then we finished the game with more or less 14 men. And it was they scored 30 points in the last 25, 30 minutes. It was a massive swing. Disappointing now. The two injuries were tough. And, you know, it was the lads were knackered after a couple of tough games.
What was the final score, Roscoe?
32-22.
Yeah, I turned down, actually. I think it was 22-3 when I turned
down. No BP, so.
Yeah.
And yourself and Mr. Dewhurst were on about.
You were in commentary for Ocean FM, with Graham Dewhurst.
Yeah. Yourself and, what's their nickname for him? Dewey, is it?
Dewey, yeah. That's Dewey, what they call him. Dewey, yeah.
So, Dewey had played for Belfast Harlequins previously, and it was held in high regard up in the
tower. But at that stage, when I turned down, it was talk about, will Sligo get the bonus points?
Yeah, you know? Look, that was it. Like, we were in control. We defended well all game. We were attacking really well. Like, you always knew with a win that they'd score a try, but it was just such a sudden and sharp decline. It was shocking, really. But look, we've 2 weeks off. A few fellas back from injury now. We have a game this weekend against Buccaneers in the Connacht Senior Cup. It's a semi-final. So we'll be going to Buccaneers to play that, and the reward for winning that is a final against Ballina, who pipped us to the league at the start of the season.
Yes.
In the showgrounds on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
Yeah. So that'd be a nice occasion.
Showgrounds.
Sports grounds. What's giving me giving out about other pundits?
I was just about to say it. Yeah. That'll be an interesting day for Paddy. Yeah.
No, that didn't even click on me at all.
No, obviously, remember the Rovers drafted. There is talk of.
How's that going? There's so many Calvaries to raise money for that, yeah.
We need a Calvary tracker.
Or that book.
I actually forgot about that fella. For about 3 days after that, I couldn't stop laughing every time I thought about it. You know, like, I can't get it.
Also suggesting to sell Calvaries to raise money. So 20 million euro, like. What fucking turkey and ham are you going to sell?
24/7
Calvary. Deadly serious responded to the tweet saying, you should look at selling Calvaries. Now, we talk a lot about Calvaries, but like, oh, the fun, like an all-seater stadium by selling turkey and ham.
Hungry fans that go in there and put a dent into it.
Anyway. He's deadly serious. He backed it up a few times though.
You're in Dubarry Park on Saturday.
Yeah, in Dubarry Park. So look, before that loss to Belfast Hurricanes, put us, they over leapfrogged us from sixth into fifth. So it's really tight. There's still only a couple of points between second and sixth place. So the weekend after, I don't know when we're doing our next pod, we're playing Blackrock here in Sligo in the league. Blackrock are in third place, so it's must win for us. Really,
that actually the last try they scored.
Yeah.
That must have been very late, was it?
It was last play.
Cost you obviously one bonus point.
That cost us the bonus point. That could be big. Like, I still thought we could have got another try before they got that to win the game. Like, it was that kind of game where you felt it, but just, yeah, like they just got that try the last play of the game. They were, like, credit to them. They kept in it, you know, even when they were down to the 22-3. But look, as I said, we have Buccaneers coming up this weekend, and then we have Blackrock the following week. What else do we have? Just two other bits. The juniors have a big game this Sunday, playing against Tuam in a relegation playoff match for the J1A League. So we finished seventh in the league. Tuam finished sixth. So we're playing Tuam this weekend in Tuam. If we win that match, we stay in the league. If we lose to them, we travel to Sligo the following week. They finished bottom of the table at eighth. So we'll have one more shot to stay up, stay in the league. Our Gulls finished off their season at the weekend with a game against Portumna.
I thought there was trouble with the Gulls. I thought their wings clipped. No,
no, they were. They thought that they were going to finish up, but they said they rallied up.
They got a team for Portumna.
They got a team available for Portumna there on Sunday now, but Portumna unfortunately had a bit of vengeance on their mind for all the shy talking over the years.
Good gang of lads in Portumna.
They put a bit of a score on us, but it was nice to see the goal.
What was the score?
Take flight. I didn't get the final score.
That bad?
I think they put a good score on them. Yeah. And then lastly, we have some schools rugby, and it is confirmed Summerhill will be playing the Grammar in the Junior Cup semi-final in Sligo Rugby Club.
Oh, baby. When's that?
When?
They're just having a bit of a break at the moment.
Will it be an after-school game?
I believe it's the first week of March. Right. We'll get the details up on the old Twitter, but it'll be in Sligo Rugby Club, so there won't be any of that messing from the previous games when you're not allowed into the school. So
interesting.
Hopefully it's a 4 o'clock-ish kickoff. So
yeah.
I don't forget to justify it in your work, yeah. Find me all uniform.
Hey, on a Saturday.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
Junior
Cup
match on the Olympics.
5,000 people out.
That's us.
Hopefully we stuff the Grammar and that. Very good.
Here's hoping for a couple of wins this weekend.
Yes. Okay, we'll come back with a roundup of a few of the other sports. Right, just a quick wrap-up of what went on, what has been going on around the area. Marty, we'll start you with a bit of horse racing. I know you were in Leopardstown yesterday, but a bit of local interest over the weekend.
Yeah, that's probably my fault, that considering we interviewed Derek Keenan last week. We have two jockeys that are quite prominent over in the UK at the minute. Derek Keenan, since the last podcast, has had two winners in the last couple of weeks. He had a winner at Lingfield on Friday. And then... Derek Foxlink's had four winners in the last 2 weeks, but probably in a more relative terms for people who don't without interest in horse racing, he actually won a big race at Weatherby on Saturday with a novice chaser called Ahoy Senor. He'd be well touted now for the Cheltenham Festival, the 3 mile novice race on Cheltenham on the Thursday, which would be a grade one. It's a very big race, it'd be a horse this time next year. You could be looking at the Cheltenham Gold Cup or the Grand National. So it's exciting times. It's good for a jockey like Derek to get one horse like that. So he won well. Ahoy Senor won well at Weatherby in the Towton Novices Chase. So all systems go for Cheltenham for Derek.
Yeah, and Derek Keenan, a few winners since we were on last.
Yeah, he had a couple. Yeah, he had two winners in the last couple of weeks. He'd won at Lingfield on Friday.
Very good. Aoife Gilgallen was running the roads. I don't know if it was on the roads, but she won the trim 10 mile. She's flying in time, 55 minutes. So she was a fun, but she's winning a lot recently, isn't she? Yeah, she won the trim 10 mile there. 55 minutes. Good time.
Great time.
Basketball, the All-Stars were in Belfast during the weekend. They're playing UJ. Big win, 101-87.
Good score.
Zach Powell hit 39, and Keith Jordan, as you know, you rate Jordan very highly, he hit 32.
Good stuff.
They're two high scores in the two last, 71 points between them.
Consistent high performers, them books.
They are, yeah, big win, and it brings that'll bring them to the Mercy Gym on Saturday evening, where they play the Drogheda Wolves. Oh! So, All-Stars in good form. I swear that'll be a sellout again, because it's been selling out every week, hasn't it?
It's just that bounce that everyone's getting now. Everyone's just mad for live sport, aren't they?
Yeah, so the All-Stars on form. Big win in Jordanstown. And so the Mercy Saturday night, get there for the Drogheda Wolves. Is there anything else? Our cricketers, of course, are, yeah, they were in Ballinasloe at the weekend, where they had a 3-wicket victory against the Ballinasloe Badgers.
I think that was the fourth test of a 5-game series.
Okay.
Two all at the minute, I think it's going to the decider, as far as
I'm aware. I wasn't aware of that. Sorry, yeah. Oh, that's very good here. I wonder where the deciding test is going to be played. Is it going to be up in Ballinasloe or
the MCG, maybe?
Well, so the Ballinasloe Badgers, or the Ballinasloe Badgers, sorry. And our cricketers are really facing off this week. That's enough of that. We'll come back with our GAA, our last bit.
Chance here for Jesse Sloan. Can he score? Yes! Sligo!
Okay, things have been good in the last 2 weeks for Sligo seniors. Off to a flying start in Division 4 of the Alliance League. They beat Wexford 12-10 in the first round last weekend, and then yesterday, 28-5 against Carlow. So very good start. They're top of the league. And top of all of Ireland, yeah, we were man at the table, yeah, on Twitter there.
It's Sam Maguire now for 2 weeks, I think.
I said 2 weeks ago I was confident that they would put in a promotion push, and it started off very well, and it's definitely on the cards now.
They've definitely justified your optimism anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, well,
I was a bit more sceptical. I thought, I think that one game against Wexford, it'll go one way or the other, you know. It's a real kind of, well, obviously, they probably would have picked Carlow anyway, but you know, it's a great start for them to go to someone like Wexford.
Yeah,
and grind out a win.
Why I was confident was, I think their forwards and attacking wise, they've good as anyone in the division, definitely.
Yeah.
And to back that up, yeah, as you said, the Wexford game, I think there was a win, there was a big win in Wexford, 12-10, and then I just didn't get to that. We were in the park for
Donegal
and Mayo, couldn't get to Wexford. And then yesterday in Carlow, I know Carlow were down a few players, but Sligo were excellent all over. And 28 points.
I don't care who you're playing, kick 28.
Yeah, it's a ridge score. I think there was only one wide. Massive score. Nine Murphy's in big form. Then the boys, Pat Hughes, I think, is back playing well. Luke Tye was good at centre forward yesterday. Like Spillane obviously is added to it. I could name all players here. So big one. Carabine is a huge boost as well. So excellent start for Sligo. And I think the most pleasing point they might have as well is there's been no goals conceded in the two games.
Only like that, it's a.
And only 5 points yesterday. Like, that's fantastic. 50 points in two games, you take that. I know it's winter football, so Sligo had a great start. Look, I'm not saying I fucking predicted all this, but I just think there is a good thing, there's a good bounce. I feel Tip weren't up to much, and it's been shown in the two games. Later about them, yes, there's promotion on the cards. Cavan is next in 2 weeks' time. That's on a Sunday in Mark, which I think they'll give Cavan a good rattle. Leitrim did a few weeks ago. That's not putting Leitrim down now, but they'll definitely give Cavan a good rattle. And even if they don't beat Cavan, the way the fixtures lie, they'll give London at home. I think we'll beat Leitrim as well. That'll be 8 points. You could only need two more points, Waterford, to come as well.
Is Leitrim in Carrick?
I'm not actually sure where Leitrim is. Waterford's definitely away, so Leitrim could be at home. London's home. Who am I missing now? Tip then.
Tip
is away, so Leitrim must be at home because of four games. Yeah, like you say, Leitrim, Waterford, London, even if you take out the Cavan game, that's 10 points and gets on a Tip and you're promoted, I think. I'm not getting ahead of myself, I don't think, but I think it's right there for them. Like, they've gone through the Wexford away, which is one of the toughest ones. So Cavan home, that's not a free shot, but it'll see where they are. And exciting times and a good start. And for the first time in a good few years, there's a bit of excitement, I think, with that 28 points. Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, like, I definitely would have went up to the game yesterday if I was here, you know, where I probably wouldn't have 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, it was good.
I couldn't believe it in Midwest when the scores were coming in.
What were Midwest saying?
They just couldn't believe it.
condescending me, old man.
No, they did say they were minus three on the spread on Friday evening, but that
it went out. Yeah, Carlo, the word had got out to Carlo, we're down a few players, but still, as you said, the 28 points. So it's Cavan in 2 weeks. Weren't fantastic against Leitrim, so nothing to fear there, I don't think. But yeah, good start, very good start. The Hurlers kicked off their Allianz 2B campaign up in Derry. I think it was an old shitty old day, I suppose, you like, and the pitch was heavy. Now it's pure winter hurling. Lost 2-14 to 1-14. But it's a new place for them up in 2B off the Allianz lead, haven't been that high before. And Gerard O'Kelly Lynch kicked off where he finished last year. Is that the right saying? He scored 112 out of 114.
Impressive.
Good thing or a worrying thing, I don't know, but obviously a good thing if anyone's going 112. Yeah, so yeah. He's going well. Dave Donegal in the park on tomorrow's Tuesday on Sunday.
The Monday gloom.
They play Donegal in Markovich on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and they'll be looking for a win there. Derry wouldn't be a bad team. The Slochneil boys are back as well, I think, so we lose by a goal. So that's the Hurlers. On the club scene, Fergal O'Donnell, Tourist Fran, have got a new manager.
Seeing that,
big Fergal O'Donnell, ex Roscommon manager. And Roscommon midfielder, he's going to take Tour Lestrand this year, so he'll be going.
He managed Roscommon in 2010.
Yeah, and he managed their minors to the All Ireland in 2006. So he'll go in to be the man to go for the seven in a row. Right. Is it seven?
Seven.
Yeah. So going for seven in a row. So big Fergal from Boyle. We wish him the best of luck here.
From all of us at the
time. From all of us here. It's drive for seven.
Any sign of any games or any fixture?
No, nothing. And I think everyone's asking why there's nothing like.
Is there a reason why you don't have one out, no?
I don't know. I don't know. The talk is supposedly that's mid-March, the warm-up league, but that's about 4 weeks away. So teams want to know. I know there's a few teams, a lot of teams are back training.
Mad for the Gaelic to get back a bit earlier.
Yeah, I think, I think if it's just back by the week of the 6th of March, that'd be fine by me. Maybe on a Saturday night.
We'll see what we do that. Yeah, but the club, I think, well, the talk is there'll be some sort of matches in March, I think. Now that's just people talking, so I've no.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be warm up cups and stuff, won't it?
Yeah, the old Benson and cup is the pick and choose still around as well. The Kieran Cup, it's called now.
It'd just be nice to know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be nice to know. Yeah, to get you can plan a bit as well from team point of view. No, but the start for Sligo was brilliant. Pat Spillane was down actually watching his son.
Seen the picture, right?
Yeah, he was up in the Sligo Park after a recovery. Would you give 5 stars supposedly?
Yeah, it's a good
Pat Spillane seal of approval, 5 out of 5. Spillane's been in good addition, got 2 points yesterday. It was nice. I know Niall Murphy got 9 points, but there was 19 other points then. There was a nice spread as well, so I think Sligo will be happy with the start and roll on Cavan in 2 weeks. That's about it for GAA, lads. Summerhill, sorry, lost the quarter final since we were last here, St. Coleman's.
Went on to win their semi-final.
Went on to win it, yeah. I'd say Summerhill disappointed now. I think we're a better team than Coleman's, with just maybe some bit of wrong decision making, and 2 goals against the wind the first half they conceded when we shouldn't have been conceding really against the wind, if you know what I mean. Like the goals that they conceded, you'd hope to keep a team to 5 or 6 points, and so that was disappointing. And then they came back and looked like they're back in it, and then they just didn't get over the line. But Coleman's obviously aren't bad when they won the semi-final, so disappointing for Summerhill. And Attractors were bet as well that same day by Clare Galway. Clare Galway were supposed to be very highly rated, but they were knocked out by St. Gerlitz then, so it wasn't a good day up in Beacon that day. It was cold now as well. We'd have to give the shout out to young Conor Marin.
Our man in the
field. Have we been on the show since? No, we haven't.
No, we tweeted.
He done our updates from Attractors. It was a good reception to that. The two games going side by side, so thank you to our transition year. Protégé.
A lot of potential.
Big shout out to his project as well.
Yeah, he done the project, yeah. Hope you got an A for that. But yeah, that's about it, lads. And that's about it for this week. Probably ran a little bit longer than planned.
Hour and a half, including our good friend, the Axe Lady.
Awesome.
Very good. Sure, give us a review on any of whatever you listen to. It helps out. And we'll be back. We could be back next week. Marty was in talks there, was he?
Yeah, just
we'll see.
Oh, no, yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
We'll decide ourselves. Yeah. Okay, it's either definitely back in 2 weeks. We'll be back within 2 weeks. Good luck.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walk your hand in
one second. The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers are the champions.
But
by the river side, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary tried and drive the clean out over the fence. Out in there, he's a car, Mitch. Jesus, he's a shop. I done.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.